Hi, everybody. Welcome back. This is Richard Sachs on Lost Arts Radio, and we're here for our Sunday show with an incredible guest, friend of ours who's been away from the show for a couple of years and wanted to have back our Dr. Christopher Macklin. And this is a very interesting and relevant individual for all the things we've been talking about. As the various elements of this critical developments in the world have been unfolding, I've been saying multiple times that it's really a consciousness test for humanity at the base of it. And that, I think, will determine pretty much all the elements of what's going to happen, how long they're going to take, when they're going to turn around, and things like that. Really important. And I'm not talking about beliefs, as you know. I try to recognize beliefs when I see them in myself and let them go, because I don't want to believe or disbelieve things. I want to see them directly and find out, because the ones that are true are never threatened by questioning them. They just turn out to be true, and they prove themselves that way. And the ones that aren't true, you can let them go and find out what is. And it's the same as the attitude with real science, you know, which is never settled. Everything is supposed to be questioned, and real science has been let go in modern times in favor of doctors and PhD people and public health people just memorizing what they're supposed to believe. And that's the opposite of science. It's more like a new religion of scientism or something like that. And if we can break away from that and just become clear and see what's really true, everything changes, and nobody has to give anybody else mandates of what to do in their life, because people become aware of how to take care of themselves. And it's in line with freedom, which was supposed to be, individual freedom was supposed to be the basis on which America was started as an example to the rest of the countries in the world. And that could come back, I mean, at any time. And it's just a question of what the individuals do. So I wanted to have Christopher Macklin on because he's known as a person of very unusually open and developed consciousness. And I want to read not the whole bio, because that's all we'd have time to do, but just a little bit of what his assistant sent me, so that you get an idea, if you're not familiar with his work, where he's coming from. And I want to mention his website and some things that he's doing that you might be interested in checking out further. It says, Dr. Christopher Macklin is an extraordinary sage who brings several assets to his work in the realm of spirituality, health and wellness, alien connection, angels, divination, paranormal, world conspiracies, COVID-19, etc. He specializes in developing protocols for removing manufactured diseases like Lyme, HIV, Agent Orange, Morgellons, and spends his life work healing physical, spiritual, and emotional psyche. His divine healing techniques are cultivated to help people recover from all types of illness. Christopher is able to heal many people spontaneously with rebalancing the body's energy field by clearing chakra points and cleansing the body's meridian field by removing blockages and negative energies. Christopher has written several books that can be found on his website, Global Enlightenment. Make sure I get this right, globalenlightenmentproject.com. So that's not just a kind of intellectually interesting introduction to his bio. That's really important stuff, because healing is the work that's sitting in front of you and everybody else on all levels, for individual and for the world, for the energy field around the planet, on all the different levels that we can perceive, starting with ourselves. Because if you don't do it for yourself, telling other people what to do doesn't make any sense. So welcome, Christopher, and thanks for being here. This is going to be interesting.
Thanks, Richard. It's great to be back, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really like you said, time goes so quick. It's nuts. It really is nuts.
It really does feel like about 10 minutes, and we're just continuing our discussion.
So, oh, bless you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I guess where I want to start, because this time is going to go by in a flash. You know, if a week is going by in 10 minutes, an hour is going to be, you know, seconds. So to make good use of it, we want to keep it relevant to the listener, the individual listener, not the whole group, but each individual. And what we're looking at, I guess, to set the context as a start, And I like the flower of life and the nice painting you've got behind you. It's great.
Yeah, it's Buddha. He's watching.
Oh, yeah. Good. Welcome, Buddha. You're invited. So, you want to say a couple of things about how you transitioned from average consciousness to where you are now and what made that happen and what you're primarily doing with it, just in real concise form.
Yeah, just concise. I mean, when I was young, I realized I could see things that other people didn't, you know, had a lot of experiences.
Right.
Then you leave school. I was severely dyslexic, still am, you know, can't spell a thing, but never mind. Not good at writing, not good at reading.
Yeah.
Went into corporate systems, got a degree in master's in electronics and software engineering, did flight control systems, and then 2007, I went bankrupt, like completely bankrupt. Everything split, the marriage, everything else. And I found myself, transitioning to a new reality, you know, which is brilliant. I've always been very conscious, always seen the things, but never really applied it. And I think it was, you know, the prime creator saying, hey, it's time to transition. So,
right.
And of course, you go through the dark night of the soul, well, what's going on here? And, I suddenly realized, wow, you know, I've got this gift. I see things. I've got the gift of healing. And they showed me my past lives. And so I really focused on the healing. But it took a number of years to understand the healing properly. And, you know, I realized that people just want it. They want it straight away. I want my gifts right now. And it doesn't happen.
Right,
like that.
Right.
You know, you have to transition. You have to, they teach you how it works. If you're willing to spend the time, but it's really important. Don't do other people's modalities. Because you have your own modality, it's your gift, you know.
Yeah,
I really encourage people to do that, learn their gift, but it takes a while. Anyway, transitioned that, came over to America in 2010, and then basically opened Christopher Macklin Ministry. The Global Enlightenment Project is part of the ministry, which is a 501c3, a non-for-profit.
Okay.
So we opened it, built it, they'll come. They didn't. Suddenly realized, oh, it's all within, and got out there all over the United States, all over the world, and here we are today. We work on probably about 80,000 people a week, you know,
wow.
The groups, and you know, it's incredible. So, is it successful? Yeah, but it takes a lot of work. But you know, but it is your gift. You know, if you get that fire in your belly, that passion, and you're excited about what you're doing, and you're doing God's work, you know, you never have to worry about anything. It all lines up beautifully.
It's like being on vacation all the time, right?
Yeah, I know. It's a lot of hard work. You can't sit on the beach and drink fermented water.
No, but it's not grueling type of stress work, you know.
No.
Because for you to do the work, you've got to stay in a really nice place internally all the time.
Absolutely. You've got to stay well-balanced, well-grounded. You've got to be in a place where, you know, this ministry building is a 4,000-square-foot house. It's got 5 acres. It's in Hollister, just outside Branson, Missouri. It's probably about 5 minutes from Branson.
Right.
And it's a beautiful place to work. It doesn't feel like a corporate, you know, environment. It feels like home. And that's the key, I think, you know?
Yeah. So you're doing healing on both a individual and a group level, right? Obviously, it's a group because you've got so many people you're dealing with. But you do some individual work, too.
Yeah, we've reduced the individual work. We now do specialized groups, which is up to 20 people. We speak to everyone first, then do the healing. And then we'd obviously do the 3 times a week. We get 20,000 people, you know, either online at the time or, you know, using it after. We probably get about 1,500 online, 2,000 maybe. And then the rest of the time, it's, you know, people watch it on YouTube after. And it's that's by donation, you know, because I know people have got, you know, when you've got no money, you've got no money. And, you know, I always tell people, never shame yourself because I've been there. I've got the T-shirt on this one, you know. And so it's just important to have the self-worth to do the healings and grow. And that's what it's all about, you know.
Okay, so let's look at a concrete example of individual situation. You, in the introduction, it mentioned several individual, what they call disease conditions, like, for example, Lyme. And there are people diagnosed with Lyme disease, whatever it really is. And they're disabled. They can't do anything. You know, they're really in bad shape. If one of those gets interested in what can come through you to help them, how do you deal with somebody like that and what typically happens?
Well, we have a protocol for diseases like, you know, Lyme is a manufactured disease. You know, I wrote a book on it and, you know, it's here, you know, History, Truth, and Healing of Manufactured Diseases. quite thick. If you don't like the book, you can use it as a doorstop. It's okay.
I'm sure it's a really amazing book.
The interesting thing, it gives the history, you know, the tall grays, the gain of function, you know, all these diseases are gain of function, you know, where they've got, you know, basically biological systems, and what they've done is they've looked how they can replicate the body fast and, you know, create real damage. And Lyme disease is it, you know, it's, I mean, Lyme disease or Borrelia, which is the stealth pathogen of Lyme disease, is one step away from HIV. Blows up the body, becomes AIDS. So you look at, you know, I want to get people to understand, you know, why do some people get Lyme, others don't? Everyone's got Borrelia in their body, which is the stealth pathogen of Lyme disease. So, okay, how does that happen? Well, the chemtrails are spewing this stuff out through nanotechnology. So they spray the nanotechnology, sinks through the skin, so you have Borrelia. You've got Borrelia, I've got Borrelia in my body.
Right.
So why doesn't it replicate and become Lyme disease? And the answer is because it depends on your DNA, therefore RNA, therefore immune system. If your DNA is robust against it, it can't replicate. So how do they make it replicate? Very simple. What they do, the biggest thing, the biggest damaging thing to the DNA is Agrobacterium. And it's in GMO foods. It's also in vaccines. So if you ingest that, it will damage the DNA and allow this, you know, stealth pathogens to replicate the body. And, you know, then it becomes Lyme disease or, I mean, AIDS is not dissimilar. They're all massive immune, you know, massive immune issues, you know, because of the stealth pathogens. And stealth pathogens, the reason why they call them stealth pathogens is because pathogens like Epstein-Barr, they replicate slowly. You know, they just keep growing and growing. Mm-hmm. These things replicate exponentially. So it's like having a stealth bomber, you know, the thing's, you know, moving around and the T cells of the immune system's trying to find it. It keeps morphing, find it, morphing. Eventually what happens is your immune system completely crashes because it gets exhausted, and then in come cancers or something. So you never die of Lyme disease. You never die actually of AIDS. You die of something like pneumonia or cancer or something else, some immune deficiency, you know, some immune disorder. So very clever system, you know, sadly, but, you know, Lyme disease actually is a pandemic. You know, there's millions and millions of people with Lyme disease and they think it's tick-borne. It's really not, you know, it's in your body already. So just important, we do have a new protocol that strips it out of the body, and that's a 20-week program. It's a Akashic Record timeline split. Now, one of two Melchizedek beings, I was born as Melchizedek being, very long story, it doesn't matter, but I can split your now future timeline. So what happens is we split the timeline in two, and you separate out on a timeline. So you've got a path of divine alignment, complete wellness, where all the stuff, you know, in quotes, is out the body, all the spirochetes, nanotech, is out the body. And on this timeline, all the stuff, which is all the spirochetes, nanotech, you know, Lyme, HIV, AIDS, Agent Orange, anything else, is split on a timeline. So now, as 10 weeks goes by, it starts to split out. But it's no use splitting it out if your DNA is damaged, because it's in the chemtrails, it'll just come back straight away. So once we get your vibration high enough, we can invoke a DNA change. So what that does is the first cell in your body, which is normally the sacral point, they repair the chromosomes, they connect all the helixes together, and they reset your DNA back to the blueprint in the Akashic Records. So they did it on the first cell, then it has a knock-on effect, it goes to the next cell. So we work on you for 20 weeks doing that, next cell, next cell. There's billions of cells in the body, so that takes about 10 weeks. When you come out of this protocol, your DNA is robust against these gain-of-function stealth pathogens. And in addition to that, the stealth pathogens are actually completely out of the body. It's been incredible.
So how many weeks does it take overall?
It's a 20-week program.
And at the end of the 20 weeks with people who were having a really hard time in the beginning, in overall, how do most of them do?
It goes. There are one or two people who have taken a little longer after 20 weeks, but, you know, within by the end of the protocol, 94% of the Lyme disease people, it's gone. Sometimes it takes a little longer. It depends on your metabolic rate. You know, there's different dependencies, but, you know, with Morgellons, it takes more time sometimes. It, again, how long have you had Morgellons particles in your body? How much have they grown in your body? Right. I had one lady, it took 7 months. She's the worst Morgellons person I've seen. It's coming out of her eyes. It's coming out of her face. It's coming out of her head. Wow. It was coming underneath the, and it took 20 weeks. It took about 7 months after she'd finished the protocol It's gone. It's incredible.
Okay. So you were talking on a couple of different levels there. One is physical protocol. You mentioned GMO food and, you know, basically cleaning up lifestyle, I think is what you were talking about. But at the same time, you were talking about timelines, which to me is different optional futures that any given person may have, right? And yeah. So you were saying the future, the timeline that they were headed toward, the projected future that their consciousness was leading them into, you're helping them switch that out for a different timeline and a different future in their experience, right?
Yeah, it's had a profound effect on people. So what we're doing is, you know, basically you split the timeline. So, right, you're on your divine timeline, whatever that is, and that's God's choice. So, you know, if you have a gift or anything else, that's divine timeline. Of course, it's really important when people in the protocol to be able to surrender, because if they don't, you know, they can veer off that timeline onto some other timeline, mm-hmm. but it's still separated out of the body, of course. I mean, it's had, you know, I've had so many people change their lives. You know, one lady was in New York, and within like 3 weeks of the protocol happening, she's realized, wow, you know, and the God connection got really strong. And she moved to Colorado, you know, within 2 days. Got to move there. Done. Another lady, I forget where she was. I think she was in Arizona. Mm-hmm. She suddenly met her counterpart and flew over to Spain and is married. You know, and there's so many instances like this where suddenly it changes your life because you're on a divine path. So it's mm-hmm. been incredible. Absolutely.
You're working
incredible.
On both levels at once, the physical yeah. and the non-physical together.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And what's the money aspect of that whole thing? How many appointments do you have and how much do they cost?
It's 140 appointments. We just give a fixed fee of $3,600. So it's like $25 a day. I have to work on you 3 times a day, every single day for the 20 weeks.
Wow.
So it's a lot of work. You know, people think, wow, it's $3,600. It's nothing compared with the work.
So you can't really take that many people because that takes a lot of time for each one, right?
Oh, it does, yeah. We could have, I mean, normally we get about 20 to 25 people on, you know, we could do more, you know, I try and limit it. You know, there's only so much work you can do, and, you know, I'm kind of at my capacity at the moment.
When you say you work on an individual 3 times a day, does that mean you hook up with them consciously or you're just doing private work on them?
Yeah, yeah, it's offline, you know, but it's basically hook up with their conscious and then work on them every single day and people can feel it.
How often do they actually see you?
What we normally do is we do a group meeting probably every 3 to 4 weeks and check in with people, how you're feeling. And they always give the same feedback, you know, because when you do this, we have to put them into zero time space in the ultimate dimension. So they get a big loss of time, you know, time just disappeared. You feel as though you're being suspended in midair, you know, and everyone's reported that. And the reason why we do that is because I try and speed the timelines up beyond the speed of light to infinity. Does it mean they go that fast? No, it depends. It's up to the Melchizedek choice. And normally they do it at the rate that your body can tolerate any die-off or anything else going on, you know, the emotion release. Because I've seen so much emotion release. If someone puts you on a divine timeline, suddenly you've got a load of emotion because you're on a different timeline than you used to be on. So it produces massive emotional release. It's been incredible.
So absolutely you're talking incredible. About group meetings, right? Every certain amount of time. But yeah. some of the, are all the people in the group on the individual protocol too? So they have individual programs with you? Or there some people
they have done. Then normally, if they've got Lyme disease or they've got HIV/AIDS, Agent Orange, or they've had the vaccine,
right?
Then that's the people who we, you know, they come on because they want to get the thing out of them, you know, because it's nanotechnology. It's also got HIV microproteins, and so it's something that you want to get out of the body pretty quickly before it starts to produce clots or, right. you know, anything else for that matter.
So those people, just so I understand it clearly, those people are signing up as individuals, right?
Yeah.
And they participate in the group meeting. How often are those?
Every 3 to 4 weeks, you know, we have
okay.
a group meeting.
And yeah. then do they see you individually too, if they're on that, you know, protocol where they are working with you just on their particular situation?
They can do if they get a little bit of die-off or something's happening. Sometimes they have a one-to-one okay. session, but most of the time they don't because they don't need to. I mean, if people have got cancer, Yeah. You know, cancer is caused by, emotions are the primary cause of cancer. Secondary causes, pathogenic mutating the cells, turning into tumors, like Epstein-Barr or, you know, Veruca virus, whatever. Uh-huh. So again, sometimes if people got stage four cancer, we get them on the protocol because we're going to strip out the pathogens. That's the secondary cause. And of course, it's going to release a load of emotion, the primary cause. But sometimes with the tumors, because if they're bad, they do some extra work to, we have a technique to fry the tumors. It's called space-time continuum and your attacking energy. What it does, if you apply it to a tumor, it basically breaks the molecular structure down of the tumor to benign for the body. So it goes from a hard thing into softer, softer, softer. And then the Melchizedek beings can go in and, you know, psychic surgery, remove it and actually break it down and put it back to the lymphatic system, the bloodstream. So little by little, it gets softer, smaller, till it disappears.
How much of that is non-physical and how much do you want them to change their physical lifestyle?
Oh, they've got to change the physical lifestyle. I mean, that's part of the emotional release. When we do one-to-one sessions, we tend to do high volumes of emotional release because, you know, people ingest, I don't know, 100,000, 200,000 layers. You know, in this world, I mean, look at it. It's absolutely nuts. And people are ingesting so much emotion and getting anxiety and PTSD and things like this. So what we do is, you know, because that being within those 100,000 layers, they will go in and they'll say, okay, what's your biggest layer affecting you right now? They pull that out, then the next biggest. So it's energetic, of course, then you breathe it out. And, you know, we can do 81, 162, 324, 648 releases. Now, if you go to a practitioner, they're going to poke at one or two layers, you ball your eyes out, you go next week, you're going to be 26,000 years before you even got rid of half of it, you know. So it's to me, it's important to, you know, fast release the emotion. Of course, you get a reaction, you know, 2 hours next day, you can end up bawling your eyes out. Or sometimes people process through the intestines, they get a bout of diarrhea, like a purge. You know, it depends how you process emotion, but it's been incredible.
Do some of the people in the group session, are they just signed up in the group or are all of those working with you individually?
We normally have an individual session to make sure they have the, to make sure they're emotionally stable enough to be in the protocol, because this protocol is pretty profound.
Okay.
So, you know, I normally have one-to-one session before and just check and make sure they're robust. And so, you know, yeah, you can do the protocol.
Okay. But then they do the protocol, but they also participate in the group meetings.
Yeah, yeah, but only the people with HIV, AIDS, agent orange, Lyme, Morgellons, or some of that cancer where it's caused by pathogens, it strips pathogens out as well. And we have other groups, like, for example, we have specialized groups where people come on with all sorts of conditions, and we have up to 20 people, so we talk to everyone first, and, okay, what's happening, you know, how are you feeling this week, or if you're new on the call, I can remote view in the body and have a look what's going on, tumors, you know, problems with the intestine, problems with the adrenals. I mean, almost everyone's got problems with the adrenals because, of course, emotion bleeds into there, and so it does with the thyroid as well. So the whole endocrine system is off balance.
Right.
So, you know, everyone's got adrenal issues. Everyone's got intestinal issues because, you know, it's not, you know, emotion also bleeds into the solar plexus, paralyzes the intestine. So when you eat, as it gets further down, it backs up, you feel blah, you know, you get wind. You get, you know, it can ferment in the wrong place, so it burns holes in the intestinal lining, and, you know, there's a whole slew of things going on. So we do have specialized groups. I'm cutting down one-to-one sessions, which is basically half an hour. I speak to the person, we work on them, but I think because we're getting so busy, we're cutting down those and doing more specialized groups.
Right. Okay. And those groups go for how long in the protocol?
That's a specialized group, separate to the protocol. That happens for, normally it's about a two-hour session. We go through everybody, and then we do the healing, and then we run it for 7 days after. All the healings, when it's specialized, all one-to-ones, I run the whole session for 7 days, because then the because that beings can stay in your body, and, you know, the energy will stay with you, and, you know, it speeds up the healing process.
Okay, and what's the cost of being in one of those specialized groups?
It's $80. Yeah.
Okay. And what about if somebody wants, I'm just saying this so that everybody knows exactly what's available and what the different options are and what you actually are offering. So if somebody wants an initial session, doesn't know what they want to do after that, but just to get your input on what their condition is, what's the cost for that if you do that?
If it's a one-to-one session, it's $120.
Okay. And that's like an hour or something like that?
No, it's half an hour. Normally look at the body, you know, make a list and, you know, we produce a sheet and then we do the healing afterwards.
Okay.
And then I set up them for 7 days. So,
okay. And you tell them things that they might do to be helpful aside,
yeah,
from what you're putting in. Okay.
That's, yeah, yeah.
That's great. Looking at the overall situation of what's happening right now in the world, what do you see as the potential for turning it around before things get much worse?
Interesting question.
Kind of important question, right?
It is, actually, yeah. Well, if you look at it, the way I look at it is this. You've got the cabal, deep state, whatever you want to call them, you know, multi-billionaires who are controlling all this thing.
Right.
They don't want the population here, of course, because so they're trying to depopulate the planet. And anyone who's on it, they want them to sign up to their, you know, one world order agenda, which is, you know, one world order banking and everything else. Mm-hmm. Now, they're trying it, but it's starting to collapse. You know, we can see it's collapsing. People aren't believing it. So, but you've got to remember, these guys are very clever. So it's my opinion, again, you know, what I see is that they're trying to, I think the billionaires, I'm not talking about the people in the government, they're just puppets, you know.
Right, right.
I'm talking about the billionaires who are controlling this. So what they're doing is they're putting sacrificial lambs in the White House so that they look crazy, because, I mean, come on, who else would put a president who can't speak properly, you know? And the answer is, I don't know, you know.
Right,
love him or not love him. I'm not interested in Democrat, I'm not interested in Republic, because I'm interested in sovereignty, you know. I'm interested, yeah, in freedom, sovereignty, and unconditional love. I'm not interested in all this nonsense. So what's happened is, you know, I think there's a lot of puppets put in, and these guys don't care, they're sacrificial lambs. So if things go south, they'll just put them up for slaughter, you know, they don't.
Sure, sure.
Great. And then, of course, you know, they engineer the savior, you know, so we all know who that is. And is that person completely white? And the answer is probably not. There's one rule about these cabal people is that you cannot make more than $20 million without having your toe in their water. Because if you don't, they'll bankrupt you, you know, after $20 million.
Well, and a lot of people in entertainment and things like that have come out and explained they had to actually pledge allegiance to some satanic cult in order to be made famous.
Yeah, right. And do the blood rituals. Well, you know, it is completely satanic, you know.
Yeah.
And we're actually setting up something which might help people who have been through the blood rituals and to try and help turn them around into God-bearing beings again, because the dream crow and all this sort of stuff is just evil. I've dealt with Illuminati fallout children, and you know, it sickens you just to listen to this stuff. It's sickening.
I know.
You
know, one thing I wanted to have you on for is to get your input on some of my experience too with the same cartels and the people above them and the non-humans above them. And you know, my sense at this point, after decades of really digging into it, not just intellectually, but experientially, is this is a sacrificial, ceremonial sacrifice of the entire biosphere, including themselves at the top level. And they don't let their servants know about that, because knowing that it's a suicide mission might be hard on morale for the people that hope that they'll be in the remnant that's left over. And really, there's not intended to be any remnant at all. And they think that if they do the sacrifice according to protocol, they'll get the reward on the lower astral levels. And, you know, they're into evil for its own sake. And does that feel accurate to you? I mean, that's what I get.
It does. You know, that's what it's all about, satanic sacrifice. I mean,
right.
So
what it seems like to me the issue is, you know, the top level humans, small number of families and the people in charge on the human level are getting directed from non-human levels, astral levels above them. And they think they've got it made because they really have covered all the bases as far as force and corruption goes. And they've got blackmail on all the leaders, and they're threatened their families, and they basically have set up an intricate network of mafias to control the world, basically. And you can see them destroying the biosphere along with humanity. they're not saving anything for themselves. They're just wiping it out. But they're doing it step by step by specific protocol notices, milestones, saying what they're doing in hidden messages in entertainment and all kinds of stuff like that. Yeah. So, yeah. However, and this is most people disagree with me on this. I've looked at the most evil people that there are, including the evil non-embodied ones above them. And I see that they're all made out of the same spirit as everybody else, because there's only one source that everything comes from. And the reason they manifest as evil and are totally into that, and that's who they think they are, and they're doing a great job of it, if that's your goal, is that the mind programming is overlaying the spirit, and it's convincing them that this is their identity and they have to be destructive. If you could penetrate that programming, which is so deep, most people think that's who they are, then you could turn around anybody. And the question is, with our connection to other levels and helpful beings and things like that, are we going to be able to demonstrate that in real life? I'm very interested. And there's all these people on the internet saying, you know, many of them, I'm sure you've seen, saying that they're speaking for the Galactic Federation or different, you know, basic terms like that. Many of them conflict with each other. And, you know,
yeah, they do.
So,
well, because I mean, the problem is that a lot of, you know, you got to remember, a lot of people who do channeling and things could be hijacked, because they start channeling. If they channel a reptilian, you get three truths, one lie. And so, you know, you speak, right. Oh my God, this is amazing channeling.
And they suddenly can still be totally sincere.
Oh yeah. And they don't realize they're being messed with. You know, I would say, you know, 96-97% of people who do channeling are channeling reptilian. And it's addictive, you know. And of course, the big lie, when you've heard three truths and they tell you something huge, which is a lie, that, oh, it must be true. Because,
very,
you know,
very similar the ones to the true. Humans in power do the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all a psyop, you know, but it's what it is, you know, it's a manipulation.
So and what it comes down to is, all right, this is what these people are all saying that they're coming from and channeling or whatever. But, you know, what can they do with it? Can they show some element of transmutation of evil into good, you know, to break through that programming? Because if we don't do that on the people in control on this level, they're going to keep doing and intensifying what they're involved in. And I'm kind of, I know it's totally up to spirit and God and all that, but personally, for my preference, looking at the what's playing out and the overwhelming amount of suffering that's happening mostly to people who don't know what's going on, I'd like to see us be able to change their trajectory so that it doesn't have to go into the dark age that they're planning.
Absolutely. No, I agree with it. Well, we're doing some of that. You know, what I see is, of course, you know, you've got the billionaires who are still puppets, you know, but they think they're in charge.
That's right.
Multi-billion billionaires like Gates and all these people. And then you've got a level above them, like you say, the kind of interdimensional beings like reptilians, like, you know, Anunnaki, Draconians, Archons, who have no body. They float through dimensions. But what's interesting that people don't realize, I've heard a lot of people say, well, I channeled and we're 84% ascended.
And yeah, exactly. Thinking, right.
Hang on a minute. Are you on the same planet? Because I'm kind of not seeing it.
Yeah.
And that's not to be judgmental. That's just observation. We're nowhere near. We're about 2.4% awake. And I'm not just talking about, oh, hang on, there's something not right here. I'm talking about really there. You know, your vibration's high. You're really channeling things. You really get it. And you've been through the dark night of the soul. But, you know, I agree with you. I think, you know, every single being on this planet is a God created, prime creator being.
Right.
And so, like you say, it's mind control. So one of the projects we're doing is because that beings, because I do chair the Galactic Federation with two other because that beings. You know, we go periodically, we swept the Zeta Greys, not the Tall Greys, but the Zeta Greys off the planet, 4 years ago now in June. It was agreed, and it's not just me who decides, it's a whole slew of beings wherever you go. But that aside, So you've got the Galactic Federation, but in addition to that, you know, we're working with the Actorians to create some pyramids, which are huge, which are Stargate pyramids. They will land fairly soon in America. We have to get the land. We're working on that. And so why would you produce pyramids, Stargate pyramids, whatever? Well, they're instruments. But don't forget, these reptilians are below the planet. So, you know, Anunnaki, Draconian, they can switch in dimensions. In the fourth dimension, you know, you can't see them. And obviously the third dimension, you can. They look like velociraptors. And Draconians, they're down there eating kids and doing stuff. And, you know, the government's supplying them. The whole thing's going around. So they're in charge. You know, these billionaires aren't. They're just puppets. So how do you get these beings off the planet if they're low vibration without creating karma? And the answer is, if you create on the golden curve, if you put these pyramids like the golden curve and have the last pyramid, the biggest one, over the ley line, it will induce enough energy into helping raise this planet to overpower the consciousness of these beings. So basically any being who's low vibrational will either have to leave the planet or will struggle, will perish.
And change.
Right. Yeah, or change. Yeah, redeem themselves. But whatever way they redeem themselves is up to them. That's not our deal. All we're doing is raising the vibration.
You're making an environment that evil doesn't feel comfortable in.
That's right. So they'll either leave or, you know, they'll redeem themselves and be loving beings. Whatever they do, that's in there. But it's a great instrument because it doesn't create karma. It's still free will. You know, if you want to redeem yourself, great. If you don't,
and you can go somewhere else, you know.
Yeah.
But you mentioned people who say, we're almost there, you know, everything's about to be completely great and all that, and we're almost all ascended. And I understand that because people, it's emotionally really difficult to see how things actually are right now. It can be quite distressing. And you see, all right, you know, everybody's almost ascended, light is happening, the new age is coming. Then you see a video of the police, you know, beating people up in Australia. And, you know, bring it down to physical reality. If these spiritual things are true, then, you know, ideally we want to use them to transmute what you see happening here.
Yeah.
And to be honest about it. And yeah, people really flock by the millions to teachers who say, everything's taken care of, just relaxed, it's almost all done. It's the same thing on the physical level with the cube movement that was attracting people because they said, you don't have to do anything, just trust the plan, it's all done, everything's fine. You know, you don't see it, but it's all
I don't fine. Trust the man, I don't trust the plan, I don't trust, the only thing I trust is God's, you know, prime creator. You know, I define God as God, Goddess, prime creator of all this. So prime creator does have our back if you surrender and allow it, but it's no use just sitting there doing nothing. You know, it's up to us to start making things happen.
Well, yeah, know? Because then that force can work through you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I mean, it's not you coming up and operating from a different center, like a little ego god or something. It's like, get your blocks out of the way, and then that spirit that controls everything works through you without obstruction.
Absolutely. You know, and I think that's important. I mean, I've seen people, well, I'm super spiritual, but of course I'm broke and, you know, they look sick and, well,
right.
You're not looking so good to me. And, you know, it's not to shame in any way, but again, you know, and I'm sitting here waiting for something to happen. Well, you can't, you know, God works through you in mysterious ways and open doors. You've got to get out there and step through the doors to make things happen. That's one thing I've learned about God.
Yeah. So what
just
we
just sitting in jail all day. Yeah, it does, absolutely.
And where you keep your thoughts and your emotions, I think, is really powerful, too.
Mm.
Right? Absolutely. Because if you're talking really spiritual and you're dwelling on, you know, what evil might happen, you're kind of manifesting what you don't want. I think that's really common.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Or, you know, well, I'm broken. I can't, you know. Well, step back, you know, and again, you know, I always tell people, look at the gratitude. What have you got? Have you got food on the table? Wow. You know, have you got a roof over your head? Does it leak? No. Have you got a bed? Yeah. Wow. You know, you've got a lot more than most people in this world. So, you know, look at the gratitude of that and build on that, you know.
Right.
Be excited. Right. I feel blessed. Honestly, Richard, I told my wife, I'm so blessed by God. It's just untrue, and I'm bursting with gratitude. You know, I love it. But it's no use getting a gratitude stone and say, okay, well, God, you've got 5 minutes. So I'm grateful for my wife, car, my feelings. I don't have time for you. It doesn't work like that. You know, it's a way of life, you know, because exactly. The gratitude comes with surrender, comes with leaping out of bed in the morning with excitement because you're doing God's work, and it's all connected.
And it's kind of like changing your baseline consciousness. So you talk about prayer or meditation or things like that, focused on beauty and letting it go through you without obstruction. Instead of doing that for 5 minutes a day, the idea is to make that where you stay, right? Even Absolutely. If your body's moving around.
Absolutely. I mean, I spend probably most of the day in the ethers for 12 hours a day. So when I come back, you know, you kind of, well, okay, right. We've got to get grounded again, you know, and sometimes I won't drive for a while. You know, my wife drives. She says, oh, you're no good because you're still up there, you know.
Right, right.
And actually, even when I'm with people, you know, sometimes I'm in the ethers because, you know, there's so much download and so many things changing at the moment. Kind of becomes a way of life.
Right. You've heard of the experiment known as the Japanese water experiment, I think.
Yeah.
With a glass of water, right, and you project I love you or thank you or something like that. Love and gratitude were the most powerful. And not the words, and not just a piece of paper that says that, but the feeling, you know, projecting the emotion with focus. And they flash freeze the water, and it's a beautiful crystal formation.
Absolutely.
What's your opinion of why nobody has scaled that up?
I don't know, because I've done it. I mean, you can call it blessed water. I mean, I can revibrate water. I can actually change the consistency as well. But, you know, but if you just inject energy into the water and, like you say, inject love into it, if you taste it, it tastes really different. It tastes really pure. It tastes as though it's got life in it. Right. You know, I remember going to a conference and there's about 300 people. So we bought all these strawberries on the way, and we bought them from this interesting place called Walmart. And they don't taste like strawberries. They're sour, you know. So
yeah, yeah.
So we get there, chop them to, you know, 300, you know, from all the same punnets. They all taste the same. And so we separate them. So I re-vibrated them. And, you know, we've got a food prayer, you know, so which is a map of intent. So we did that. So I sent them round, A, B. So I sent them round. So we're going to send A round. What do you think of A? Oh, my God, they're delicious. Strawberries, whatever, you know. You sent B round. Oh, these are really sour. And then, you know, I said, so which do you like better? A. Okay. Do you realize that they're from the same place, the same punnet, right, and they've had the same taste, and yet revibrate these? And so I sent the other ones around and said, okay, revibrate them now. So I sent the other ones around. They put these sour ones, put them in their hand, revibrated them, taste them. They taste delicious. So does this work? Absolutely, Richard. I don't know why they don't get these things out more, because, you know, revibrated water is really good for you because it has life force in it.
So how do you revibrate the water? What do you do?
Basically, put your hands around it. And I always ground myself. I am of God. I ground myself to the earth. Okay, dear God. And you focus on it. I command to reset this water molecular structure black back to this blueprint, and then you can just ingest, and I, you know, send ultimate dimension energy into it, and you can see it. It's kind of almost like not fizzes, but you get, you know, you do get bubbles coming out of it because it just revibrates it. It's incredible.
Yeah. So that's just a clue of the massive effect that we're having on everything around us at all distances, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And in a way, it gives substance to the idea that everything we experience as the physical or real world in our environment, the universe and everything non-physical, it's all our projection. It's Absolutely. Not somebody else's fault. And if you take that further, even the behavior of the characters in your movie that appear to be other people, they're affected by your projection too. So when I say about scaling up the water experiment, and I haven't done this, obviously, or the world wouldn't be like it is now, but if you could change your subconscious perception of size, because really scale is irrelevant, it's all relative, and see the world as a speck of dust compared to the cosmos, and say, and do what you did with the glass of water to the world. What is it that up to now, nobody has done that? Because look at the world. It's not harmonious glass of water at all. So why not? What's going on with that? Why didn't they take that clue and apply it on a different scale?
I think there's also, you've got to remember, there's transmissional frequencies and different things obstructing even the God connection. There's transmissional frequencies trying to obstruct, because, you know, we're a dipole, you know, we've just got signals, you know, elements in our brain where if you have a thought, it transmits a frequency out.
Yeah.
Now, if you've got a frequency that's countering that frequency on all the time around the planet, then, you know, you can get it out, but it's a struggle because you have to really send it out with absolute authority.
So you're working against resistance.
Absolutely.
Right. And I think the people at the top of the negative power structure understand that principle really well. And they're using their focus as the world as a glass of water to focus in negativity, despair, death, disease, everything on a dark side. And so it's like this is a duality environment, and our job is to get focused enough so that it goes right past that resistance, right?
Absolutely. Well, we do have a ceremony. We used to do it every 120 days. Now we're doing it every 9 weeks. And
okay.
The ceremony is basically the basis of it. Well, it's a God ritual, but it starts off with a map of intent. So it's basically God, Goddess, Prime Creator, all it is. The following, you know, you've got groups like, you know, Big Pharma, Big Tech, Big This, Big That, you know, the Hollywood, whatever. And it basically calls them out. Anyone, you know, who's committing, you know, crimes against humanity or for right. women, children, whatever, we bring them before God for justice in any way God knows how, and then we release them to God with unconditional love and forgiveness. So we go through this whole ceremony. It takes about an hour and a half, 2 hours. Last time, honestly, which we had 4,000 people live on it between right. YouTube and Zoom. It was brilliant. And then what we do to create a God ritual is reinstate that at 3 p.m. Central Time every day for the next, 69 days or right. 63 days, sorry. And it's been very profound. People have come on it and thought, wow, it's so powerful. So, you know, if you care about the world, I'd encourage people to come on. You know, it's free. It's 23rd. It's 3 p.m. Central Time. And people
you said
can join.
23rd?
Yeah, the 23rd. 23rd of October.
Of October. And is it the same date on every month, or how does that work?
No, it's every 9 weeks. So it falls on the night. Yeah, every 9 weeks, every Saturday, 9 weeks. I think the next one falls on Christmas Eve. So we're probably going to have to do it the day before.
What time's on Saturday is it?
3 p.m. Central Time.
Okay, 3 p.m. Central. Is this the free meeting that Donna was saying to make sure and mention?
No, the free meetings are three times. Well, it's not free. It's by donation, but for effectively free. Three times a week. That's healing for an hour. Three times a week.
Okay.
And that's basically Monday, 9 a.m. Central Time, Thursday, 5 p.m. Central Time, and Saturday, 11 a.m. Central Time. They're by Zoom. If you go on the website, you can join in Zoom, and you can be part of the healing. You know, it's, if you want to give us a donation, great. If you don't, okay. or you don't have money, it's okay. You know, it's
okay.
Come that's and join. Great.
Now, also, I think if I read the intro right, you've been having some success helping people who have been injected with this mRNA technology or the DNA technology from the other vaccines that is changing the body, the genetic code, so they're producing poison in the form of spike protein, and yeah. that's being shed. And so there's a lot of concern both for, you know, I think there's going to be millions of people that are going to realize, wait a minute, this was not a good idea. And what can I do? And you're helping those people, I think. And then other thing is the people that are around them and are saying, I don't know what to do because I don't want to be isolated from everybody I'm connected to now, but they could be shedding the spike protein. So those are two groups of people that have a strong concern. What's going on with that?
Well, what we're doing is we're doing the timeline splitting protocol and separating the, you know, because it's got graphene oxide, it's got spike proteins, it's got HIV microproteins in it.
Yeah.
It's got jumping genes, which are, you know, and transposon, which sexual contact. It's got polynethylene, glycol, you know, it's got hydrogel. And the biggest thing that no one's talking about much is the nanobots, you know, which is more gallons, nanoparticles. No one's talking about that much.
Are these self-assembling transceiver units that will send and receive electronic signals to?
They do, yeah. But some of them actually start growing into, you know, depending on how it reacts, it grows into like a biological creature thing, you know. And I've seen some videos of a doctor, oh my God, what's this? Well, it's a Morgellons creature thing, and what happens is it creates them. It has a consciousness, and so, but they're biologically alive, but they're kind of dead stuff. I call them live dead stuff because they've got no soul, but they're kind of alive.
Did you see that video by Dr. Carrie Mede recently, where she said she was looking through the microscope and said, "Oh my God, what is this thing?" It sounds like what you're talking about. And she said, "Her intuition was that it knew she was looking at it."
And it does, That's your biological life, and they have a consciousness.
Yeah.
We've dealt with these things. We've had, with the Morgellons people, we've had, that we've got rid of now, but. They've taken the particles out, but depending on the chromosome effect of the Morgellons, this was before, depending on what type of creature came out of the body, you can get things like wasps, you can get, these nanoparticles have got crystalline structures in them. Right. They're bound with Borrelia, the spirochete of lime. They've got nylon 36, nylon 33, and nylon 6. Which is, you know, patented by DuPont. They've got all that stuff in it. So that's why people, depending on how it activates in the body, you know, people can have plastic coming out of the skin because the nylon 33 and 36 grows, you know. It actually grows, you know. It's biologically alive.
Right. These are moving.
It's incredible.
They're moving around when they come out.
Yeah. And they actually start growing through the, they can create like networks through your muscles and everything else. You know, you're becoming a biological instrument, you know.
It's transhuman, crazy. Transhumanism, right? And that's then the it, doctor exactly. sends the patient to a psychiatrist saying,
yeah, that, so that you're can't. Nuts.
Yeah, exactly. I hope you're nuts because this isn't in my book, you know.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's in my book. It's all there, you know. I mean, this describes the nanotechnology side of these vaccines, you know.
What's the exact title of the book again?
It's called The History, Truth, and Healing of Manufactured Diseases.
Okay, and where do you get that?
Well, you can buy it from here. It's on Amazon, either one, so it's okay.
Okay. Now, obviously, we're moving through really quickly and briefly on these points, but there's a lot more depth to go into. Maybe we'll get to do more episodes later, I hope. But
absolutely.
It also mentions in the bio pages that Donna sent that... and you mentioned too, I think, that you participate in these meetings of what you're calling the Galactic Federation, and you said you had a high position in that group. What's it like when you go to those meetings? How can you describe it? I mean, how many beings are there, and do they have forms, and what do they look like?
They can have several thousand beings. There's many different forms, you know, Arcturians, you know, there's Andromedans, you know, big blue people, you know, there's different types of people, you know, and, you know, there can be, I don't know, several thousand. But it's interesting because, you know, you use telepathy there. I mean, don't forget, you know, you don't always go physically. Most of the time, you know, your soul's taken out. You go there. When you get back, it's weird because even though you go there, when you get back, you feel as though you've been beaten with a baseball bat, you know, and everything's aching because, you know, your soul's been there, and it comes back with that, oh my goodness, you know, but it's incredible.
So you've got to reintegrate with the body after you get back.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes, you know, if they take you on an emergency thing, you can just like collapse on the floor. I remember my wife one day, you know, I think it was about a year and a half ago. Normally they give you like, we're going in 5 minutes. Okay. So you lie on the bed, you're gone. So you're not here. So you're kind of, in a coma because your soul's not there.
You can't be waked up.
Well, yeah, and one day I didn't quite get to the bed, so I was collapsed on the floor, and you know, my wife's going, "Oh my God, has he had a stroke?" Or something, you know,
right?
And then she goes, "Oh, he's gone to the Galactic Federation. Don't worry about it."
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine.
It just looks like he's almost dead, but he's fine.
Yeah, what the heck's going on here? You know. Yeah. But the Bakuzdat beings, you know, the Bakuzdat beings play a big part in this creation of this third dimensional. Because one of the biggest things they did, I think, is. And again, you know, I was born a Bakuzdat being. But one of the biggest things they did when they created this world is to create the Akashic Record system. And that was really important. So the reason for that is because, you know, if you're on a timeline, so, okay, let's send Richard back in time. So you go back in time and you go back to 1930, whatever, four, whatever, six.
Right.
And you can see what's going on. Like, you know, Hitler's there, whatever. Can you take him out or can you do anything about him? The answer is no. Why is that? Because those timelines, you've got back on that timeline, but the other timelines have already happened, so you can't change those.
So the rule is you can't change the past.
Yeah, you can't change the past at all. And if they could, of course, they'd damage the time-space. Things would be all over the place.
I can see that would be a big mess.
Oh, yeah.
Because there are countless numbers of individuals who went through lessons they had to have. And if you take those all away, it's not necessarily a good service.
No. What's interesting, and one of the manipulations happening now is, and again, from what I see, is that you get these people back from the future, you know, so they've come back from 2000, you know, 3050 or whatever, and oh my God, you know, the big tech and everyone's taken over. But if you think about it, you know, that's a really clever manipulation because there's infinite timelines for humanity, which is obviously connected to our timeline as well, but they may have come back on a timeline where it all failed and, big, you know, everyone took over and the Rothschilds, whatever. And then, so they come back and they're telling us that, but that doesn't mean anything because the timeline is changing all the time.
That's right.
Sometimes every 2 minutes, 4 minutes. So if someone says, well, next Tuesday, something big's going to happen, in 30 seconds' time, that whole thing can change. So how can you say, you know, that's going to happen?
How much of what's going on here with the emotional experience of being in the world? Because, let's see, how can I ask this? My limited memory of before this lifetime is just a few limited periods in different ages on this planet. But there's one time in particular in between, right before this lifetime, that I remember making the decision to come in and why and what we wanted to do. But it makes me wonder, when you're in that space in between, not physical, can you really grasp what it's like to be down here? Because I would...
I don't think so.
I'm really doubting it. Because,
no.
You know...
Richard, you're up there, you know, and they can kind of show you, you know, and give you an idea of what it's like. You look at it, oh, I can do that. No, oh, no problem.
Shouldn't be a problem at all, right?
Yeah, and then they plonk you down here. They, oh my God, what was I thinking? You know.
Well, and the first thing that happens is you lose contact with your normal state. So yeah. All your confidence that came from thinking that you could use your abilities. It's wait a minute, gone. Where's the ability? You know, I don't know how to do anything anymore.
It's crazy. Yeah, I always joke with people and say, look. When God wants, because, you know, the starseed people was the average human being, people doing soul recycling to get more evolved. But, you know, if God asks for volunteers next time, I always tell people, look, if God says, oh, look, guys, I want some volunteers, starseeds to come down to Earth, you know, just pretend, run to the bathroom, pretend you've got diarrhea and stay in there until the volunteers are selected and then come out.
Yeah.
Sorry, God, maybe next time, you know.
Well, but, you know, I think what entices you to say yes is you think, wow, if this is what's happening on the physical world, somebody needs to go help.
Exactly. And right? I don't know about you, but I love it down here. I haven't always loved it. It's been a tough life.
Right.
Because I've experienced some, I wouldn't want to go through them again, but I'm very grateful for the experience because, you know, I always teach people the worst thing that happens in your life is the biggest one for growth. It really is.
Yeah.
And I think it's brilliant, you know, I really do. Is.
So if you got one of those people from the meeting of the Galactic Federation that you're sitting around the table, well, I guess it's not sitting at a table, but whatever environment that is, and bring them down, into Australia, New Zealand, or somewhere where it's really intense right now, which is starting to spread to other places. And you said, look what's happening right now. Look at how this person feels who's being hit with a club by the police because they tried to buy food. What can you do to help us have that not keep going? What do you think they would say?
I think they'd be shocked, but I don't know. You know, there's a very close call. Think about this. Violation versus education.
Okay.
And so what's education? Well, first of all, look at the reptilians all out there. They're here. You know they're here before you get here. And you have to learn how to deal with them through the power of maps of intent or prayer, you know, to keep them out of your body and get your body vibration great. Right. There's free will as well. There's certain, you know, if you look at the vaccine system, you know, there's certain things they can't go beyond, and that's make it mandatory. But what they can do is scare the pants off people so they get so close to it. Oh, my God, I'm scared. I'm going to take the vaccine. And that's what's happening.
Well, when you say they can't make it mandatory, what do you mean by that? Because that's happening right now.
Well,
people are being said, we're going to cut
off
your
income.
Yeah, but
don't forget, they're not saying that everyone's going to be vaccinated in the United States, full stop. What they're saying is that if you work for a hospital, you have to be vaccinated, or if you work for something. So
right, but the number of occupations that applies to is increasing.
Oh, yeah, and what they're doing is putting pressure, but they cannot say everyone is mandated to take the vaccine and the military come around to do it. What they can say is that every single job, every single grocery store, every single that, if, you know, if you're not vaccinated, you're not there. So right. People lose their jobs. And, you know, what they're doing is taking it right to the wire, but they cannot go over that universal law, you know.
I think they want to take it to the point where you can't have a bank account or go online.
Oh, yeah. Go online, no bank account, no.
It's your free choice.
Yeah, exactly. But it's so close to the wire, but it's not saying you're going to take the vaccine full stop because the military are coming around to get you this afternoon.
That hasn't happened. New Zealand or Australia both, they're saying indefinitely into the indefinite future, if you choose to be unvaccinated, it's going to be a really hard life for you. They have said that publicly.
Oh, yeah. But that's not, you know, if they did that, and don't forget, it's still free will. It's taking you right to the wire, but it's not going over that. If they break the universal law, that's a violation. Then the Galactic Federation could come in and get involved and do something. But until they get right to that law, you know, universal law of a violation of your body.
So when the police are beating people up at the grocery store, that's not a violation?
That's a violation down here, but, you know, what is the violation? You know it. And that's the thing. It is a violation, but it's part of the state of what's going on at the moment. And, you know, I don't know how to explain this. It's difficult. You know, yeah, people are...
I'm not trying to be argumentative.
I really want to bring
this down to people's real experience.
Oh, yeah, it's really important.
And they're at the door of the grocery store, and in some places they're clubbing them because they're trying to buy food.
Oh, yeah, and that's a violation of your, you know, of your rights. But is that Galactic Federation stuff? The answer is, if it happened big enough, then yes. And they've got their eye on this whole thing because it's going pretty south. But, you know,
it must be close.
It's close, yeah. It's close. I mean, I've not been for a meeting for about 3 weeks, 4 weeks. But it's close. They're monitoring. And, you get over that universal law of mandating a vaccine regardless of job or anything else you're doing it, then they'll be here. And the first thing they'll do is move the kids off the planet because, you know, kids are being violated. And the sad thing about children is they have no choice.
California, they just decided to require all the kids to have injections, and they're looking for an announcement anytime now to get it all the way down as close to birth as possible.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's nuts.
Now, what do you think about the idea? And then we'll have to wrap up because we're near the end time here. What do you think about the idea that each person is carrying a potential in consciousness that is enough to change everything? It's like Einstein had said that in one particle of matter is enough energy to recreate the universe. And I'm suggesting that that's nothing compared to what is internal consciousness in every living being, every person. And if that could be freed from all the mind programming in a small group, that could start a wave that could just change the whole world.
Absolutely. And I agree with it. And I think that's what's got to happen.
It's the only answer that I can see. I mean, not to stop the physical. The physical actions are important, and we have to keep those up. Like, mass noncompliance is important, but with suicidal orders, I mean. But the consciousness is what's going to decide the outcome, it seems to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
And we've gotten to a point in our education and entertainment and media and all that that we don't even remember what consciousness means. It's like either you're knocked unconscious or you're conscious. It's not
the
no real meaning.
No. I mean, it's sad that, you know, so many people are using phones, because, I mean, I'm only on Facebook and YouTube and things like that because of the ministry. Otherwise, I'd throw the thing away, and I wouldn't have a phone like that. You know, I just have a basic phone just to call people, because, you know, I don't enjoy, there's so much separation. And, you know, you're right. I mean, if you look at, in families, there's so much separation, like mother or father won't see you because you haven't been vaccinated.
Yeah, that's happening.
You've got to be kidding. So, you know, it used to be separation of politics and separation of religion, Black Lives Matter. Now it's separation of families, you know, because vax versus no vax, you know.
Well, some of the unvaccinated people are starting to get scared of being around the vaccinated people.
Well, I don't blame them. You know, if you look at, like you said, the spike protein shed through cells, you know, and the HIV microprotein. So people shed cells all day. So if you inhale them, but you've also got a transmissional instrument as well, which is the nanotech, is transmitting, receiving from towers, but also affecting people as well. They're getting, if you get 5G frequencies coming near, you're going to release a lot of toxin very quick, and you get the same sort of symptoms as COVID that doesn't exist. I mean, this thing, COVID-19 SARS-2 does not exist.
Yeah, as a virus?
Yeah, it's not there. You know.
Yeah, I totally agree. We
500 labs, and in fact, one of the girls who did the isolation study, she's a virologist, got a PhD. She's actually coming down the ministry tomorrow, because we're going to set up a lab here to look at all this nonsense. But she was one of the labs in California. Mm-hmm. In Texas. She wasn't in California. She's Texas. She lives in California now.
Okay.
She was one of the labs, and 500 labs. 1,600 aspirates, like bits of mucus or whatever, or snot, came from dead people with, in quotes, COVID-19. They tested every single one, did an isolation study, and found influenza 1 and 2, which is a coronavirus.
Right. Well, the other thing that's really critical about that, they don't have a way to test for SARS-CoV-2.
No.
All they can do is this fake PCR procedure, which is not even a test. And before Kerry Mullis died, he explained, the inventor of the test, that important safety tip, you can never use this to diagnose anything.
It says there's antibodies.
it's a high-tech magnifying glass. It takes little bits of whatever is in there, and it makes them bigger so you can look at them. That's it.
Yeah.
But even if it was a real test, you would need a sample of the virus to compare it to see what you're finding. And to our knowledge, nobody has a sample at all.
Well, no one's done an isolation study. The guy in Canada proved that. And I would encourage everybody, you know, because they put mass mandate in Branson. I will sue the local authority, which is Taney County Health Department. I will sue them. And I'll say, it's easy. Well, okay, if you want me to wear a mask, I'll do it. But show me an isolation study.
Yes, a sample from the health official.
Oh, do you want me to show you ours? Oh, look, it's influenza 1 and 2.
Exactly.
You're lying and cheats. And, you know, you're committing fraud.
So far, they're admitting that they don't have it. And so if they don't have the original virus, they obviously don't have any variants. And I think what they're hoping is to use this circular reasoning where they start killing a lot of people and maiming a lot of people with the vaccine, and then say, a new variant is doing all this damage, right?
Yeah, it's doing
damage.
That means
we need more vaccines.
Oh, have a booster shot. What's interesting, actually, is that, you know, well, it's sad, actually, but there's, you know, I'm getting a lot of patients, you know, one lady, she was an avid listener, and she used to be on the group sessions every week. She took the vaccine and we got rid of her cancer. Suddenly cancer comes back in 4 weeks. The oncologist said, oh my God, what happened? You know, it just blew up. And then she got the microclots in the lungs, or you can get an upgrade in the lungs, you know. And and I remember doing, you know, she's in a hospital bed, and I tried to, I did something where it helped the clots and dissolve them for a bit, but the graphene oxide is toxic to the body, like you wouldn't believe. So basically, you know, they came back and I realized that I just didn't have the, I didn't have the time to help her. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you could have done it when she took the vaccine, you could have stripped out the body, gone. Great.
Well, and there's millions of individuals that all need all of your focus to help them with that exact situation.
Oh, yeah. I've had people with loss of eyesight. One, you know, athlete took the vaccine, second dose, got a stroke, now can't do anything.
Right.
And it's happening, like, we're talking about, you know, we work on thousands of people. We're talking about thousands of people being affected, not just a few, you know.
Well,
I had a girl went to hospital who got the, basically, she would never take the vaccine, but she got, you know, the shedding symptoms, and it got so bad, she had to go to hospital, and we worked on her, bless her heart, you know.
She was around somebody that had just been vaccinated recently or something.
Yeah, a lot of people. One thing that really helps, actually, Richard, I'm going to share this with you, and the virologist has tested this, because, you know, she's no fool, this virologist. Well, you know, your prayers, let's go test them. Okay.
Right.
So she goes out in the middle of California, all over the place, you know, big places where there's masses of people being vaccinated, said the prayer once every hour. She never got touched by shedding, and she should have done.
Right.
And so the prayer is the 27 esoteric Merkaba field prayer. It's on the website. If you go anywhere and you haven't taken a vaccine, I'd really encourage you to say that prayer once an hour to make sure, because a high vibrational field will block everything. And that's the key.
We have so much to talk about. I hope you'll come back at some point.
Yeah, I'd love to. Richard, bless your heart.
One of the really important things, I think, is you mentioned the Merkaba, which is the energy field that is conscious around the person. In fact, everything's conscious, the body, mind, and Merkaba too. And it's there, it's projected by us, I think, through the mind in a positive way to be a natural protective field. And it can be compromised by drug use and a lot of other things. But if it's in good shape and it's active and with a counter rotation and the whole thing, then it's programmable and it should be able to protect against the results of shedding, I would think.
Absolutely. And you can spin your Merkaba. You've got three of them. What's interesting is the center of them is always at the sacral point where the first cell of life began. So it's really interesting.
Right. And it's multi-layered like an onion, basically, right?
Absolutely. I did have, can I just go and get one?
Please.
If anyone doesn't know what a Merkaba, it's made out of cardboard. Let me just grab that. Yeah, this was one, you know, it's just a cardboard cutout.
Yeah.
That's the Merkaba. And there's three of those around.
My understanding is that's the innermost shell. And then there's a lot of others around it that are more complex.
Yeah.
But that's the innermost one that we're sitting in the middle of. And
Absolutely.
It's got three simultaneous shapes that are the same. And one of them stays static, and the other two counter-rotate against each other. So it looks like a sphere because it's moving fast.
Absolutely.
And it's all programmable, right?
And it's also, you know, it receives and sends energy, you know, to your soul as well. It's the connection to the soul. So if the Merkabas were actually, you know, eradicated, you'd probably die because, you know, you've got no energy transmission receiving going on.
Right. And no protection.
Yeah.
So it's the energy-based immune system in a way.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So if we made full use of that, things would be a lot better. I mean, in most people, I understand it's not really active and it's not conscious, but that could change because we're going to need ways to help millions and millions of people. And how to allocate your time there is, I think, a real practical issue.
Well, you know, the Pyramid Project we're talking about is a $200 billion project, you know, and they're actually collating the money right now, first stages of it, which is buying the land. You know, I'm not involved with all the building things. I'm just involved, you know, I just want to focus on the pyramids. I'm not interested because, you know, if you have pyramids dropping out of the sky, that big. You know, you're going to stir up a lot of interest. You know, and,
It'd be interesting to hear the CNN story about that, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. These just dropped out of the sky this morning. What's going on? And, you know, they won't realize that,
it's a conspiracy theory. It's not really there.
Yeah, you've got a tinfoil hat. It's not really there. Hang on. Right. Oh, it's real. Right. You know, I can touch it.
Yeah.
That'll be really interesting. So,
that will. And in fact, the old pyramids that are scattered all over the planet right now indicate that that knowledge of how to use their influence was really developed in various past times. And we had the discoverer of one in Bosnia, Dr. Sam Osmanagic, and it's bigger than the Great Pyramid in Egypt. And he noticed that a hill in Bosnia looked a little unusual, a little artificial, and he had it excavated and it exposed that pyramid. It was amazing. And people went inside and got all kinds of healing effects from it. And I'm sure nothing compared to when it was really originally active.
Well, that's the other thing, you know, Richard. I mean, they're put on ley lines, but the ley lines move, and so they're not as powerful as, you know, when you align them and they're actually on the actual ley line, you know, they go off the ley line because obviously, you know, pole shifts and different things. Right. So they're not as powerful. Plus the fact that the Giza pyramids had Merkabahs on top.
So what's the basic idea of your pyramid project? What do you want to see happen?
Well, they're being built off planet with sacred, this old ancient technology. So they're basically stargates. What they're going to do is, you know, the biggest thing about them is to actually, channel energy into the planet. I mean, the biggest one's going to be almost 1,000 feet tall, 999.9 feet tall. So it's huge. It's made of moldavite. You know, it's something, you know, the human being cannot produce because we don't have enough moldavite.
You can't call the average concrete company and have them build one like that.
Absolutely. So they're off planet, you know, and that's the thing, you know, no one could ever build them in a night, you know, so it'll be an interesting story on CNN, like you say.
Do you have an idea, any wild guess when any of those might show up in physical form?
It's the timing's dependent on the current situation. And I think if they came too early, you know, if they came at critical timing, the deep state and everyone else is going to be turning their heads, oh my God, you know, we're busy trying to save our lives because we're being accused of, you know, crimes against humanity. So they'll be turning their eyes over here when, you know, and I think they'll slide in. So I'm not sure, to be honest, is the answer. I did get some. I was talking to the Actuarians the other day, and they talked about February, but it was meant to be last July. But, you know, again, you can't say when things are going to happen because the timelines are shifting so quickly.
It's constantly changing. I guess that's one reason that you can't accurately say exactly what the future is going to be.
No one can, really.
The short run. Yeah, I agree.
That's why I always encourage, you know, people who listen to truth-seeking people and all this sort of thing, that, you know, if people are telling you times, they can't. So, you know, just, again, use your own discernment. You know, I never criticize anybody. I never judge anybody. They can do what they like. But one thing I don't like is manipulation. I think what you got to do is be discerning. Does this feel right? If people are giving you times, they don't know.
Yeah.
Because they can say, well, next Wednesday something's going to happen. And then suddenly within 2 minutes of them going off air, it's changed. And, you know, you can't guarantee anything happening because timelines are changing, in my opinion, so quickly. You know,
are you looking at large numbers of new pyramids or just small numbers?
No, there's only really three. There's just three is enough to power this planet up. They're actually stargates. They're not like the Giza pyramids were built by the Palladians. I don't know if you know that. They're vessels, and they were kind of telephone boxes to God. You get inside and you can connect to your God realm, like the Palladians or Prime Creator, whatever. But these things are very different. They're going to be built differently.
Okay. It's going to be interesting. And in the meantime, there's all kinds of work to do, right? To change the energetic atmosphere of the planet.
Yeah, just be, first of all, you know, be the child you should be, you know. People say, well, when are you going to grow up? Well, I don't want to grow up. It's boring. You know, I love being childlike and having fun and, you know, really, you know, joking around, you know, even on the generic groups, you know, we have some fun because, you know, healing is about lightness. It's about having fun. It's about laughter. It's not about, oh, well, by God, you know, he's not serious about healing. Well, of course I am. I love the healing. But, you know, it's just important to have some fun along the way as well, isn't it?
Right. So let's remind people of your website and the basic events that they can participate in.
Yeah, so the website is globalenlightenmentproject.com, and the events, you can do one-to-one sessions on the website. You can do specialized groups, so it's cheaper. You can go in with 20 people. We talk to everybody, and then we do the healing. The protocol is specifically for manufactured diseases, or if you've had the jab, it will strip it out of the body. And we do a lot of other things like, you know, the ceremony. If you want to join the ceremony, please join. You know, if you care about this world, all coming together, you know, saying this thing, you know, together means that it's got a lot more power behind it. And we did have 4,000 people online last time. I was really excited.
Wow.
So I'm hoping to get more. It'd be great, you know. And it's free. You know, you don't have to pay for anything.
Yeah. So. Yeah, incredible. Okay, well, a lot going on, and I encourage everybody to go to the site, and all of the projects and the times of the meetings and everything, those are on your website, right?
Yeah, they're all on the website, absolutely.
Okay, sounds great. Okay, so hopefully we'll see you again shortly, and hang on, and we'll say goodbye in the break here.
Okay, thanks, Richard. Bless you. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, you guys, that was Christopher Macklin, who's a healer and teacher from Branson area, Missouri, maybe just outside of Branson. And I wanted him to come back. We got a request for an invitation from his assistant. And I felt like he's a really sincere, unusual guy with some unique background. And from what we hear, there are people who are coming to his meetings and his private sessions that are getting amazing healings. And if that is what's going on, I'm really interested in knowing more about that. So I'm going to dig deeper into it. Seems like a really good guy to me, and he's got a lot of ambitions for helping as much of the world as possible. Knows a lot about the consciousness stuff that we talk about in Planetary Healing Club all the time. And just, you know, bright light of it, good intent and positive awareness that is doing a lot of good work. So if you want to get involved with his meetings, some of which are free, meditation meetings that are free, and then healing meetings that are reasonably priced, and the occasional individual sessions, you can find all that apparently at globalenlightenmentproject.com. And he's got, I believe, if I understood what he said correctly, he's got the free meetings, the prayer and healing meetings, three times a week, and it's by donation. And if you don't have money, you don't have to pay anything. And it might be really worthwhile to check that out and see what he's doing. I'm going to find out more about it, try to experience some of it myself, and I'll let you know what happens with that. And in the meantime, this is our Sunday show. Stay in touch with what platforms we're on, and help us overcome the censorship. And lostartsradio.com has all the locations of the shows and the platforms that we're on. We're still on some like YouTube, but we have to be really careful with the content that gets on there to keep the connection with those people. The major shows are on the more freedom-oriented platforms like Brighteon and BitChute, and wherever you're listening to this on right now. So stay in touch at lostartsradio.com. If you want to help us stay on the air, you can donate there. There's a donate button. There's also a subscribestar.com/lostartsradio where you can do the same thing. And there are various rewards available there for different levels of subscription. You might want to check those out. And mainly, it doesn't take any money at all to help us spread the links and let other people know about the show and how to get past the censorship, where the channels are like Brighteon and Ahava and other ones like that, that don't try to suppress the message. I think that's about it. The bottom line, as always, with the discussion with Christopher Macklin or anybody else, is don't undervalue yourself. Take care of yourself if you want to help the world and help other people. I don't think you can really do it without taking care of yourself as well as possible, physically and mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all different levels. And don't get sucked into any, you know, harmful systems, like much of the allopathic medical system now is extremely damaging and has been for a long time. And value your own insight and develop your personal internal guidance, which everybody has. So it starts with taking care of yourself every day. Learn the real health information that's violently suppressed in America and most of the world, and apply it. And if you become an example of it, it's going to help other people more than arguing with them and trying to convince them to change what they're doing. We change what we're doing. There's a lot more power in that. I think that's about it. So watch lostartsradio.com for upcoming shows, announcements on there. Remember, we have a Saturday show, 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern. That's about current events, called Lost Arts Radio Live. And that's right before the meeting of the private Planetary Healing Club group that you can also participate in if you want. That's more application, and it's going to be getting more and more focused on that for people that are brave enough to and ready to start working on themselves physically and on all the other levels too, not under any pressure, but under a group support, trying to do something that can spread there. And I still feel like a core group that has really sincere, focused attention can be the beginning of something that changes the whole situation on the planet. And so you're invited if you want to find out more about that, lostartsradio.com and also planetaryhealingclub.com. And if you have a question about it, feel free to write richard@globalleadersconsulting.com and I'll answer you. I think that's about it. So that was Sunday show for this week. And I hope everything goes great for you the rest of the week. And look forward to seeing you here next time. And good luck with everything in between now and then. We'll see you soon.